This episode of Bear Podcast is dedicated to the memory of Joseph Oates.
Bear Podcast, 444.
Just makes you all fuzzy inside.
So was it all lube? What kind of lube?
Okay, are you ready?
But in the picture that he's got on, it looks like he's got a bear.
I got to see lots of bears playing.
What? You mean you didn't have your podcast equipment with you?
It's actually plants killing zombies. Would it be better to go there and then get sick afterwards? Well,
I don't know. It depends on what you get sick with. Me and James have a lot in common. We're both tasty life.
The Matt Bear Problem.
Don selling his thong. Having it auctioned off, I think you got $150 just for a thong.
Your question of the week.
The second question of the week.
Oh, really? Want instant gratification in a week?
Yeah, those bears get around. Everybody knows everybody in this world.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
And welcome to episode 444. I guess this is our Thanksgiving week
Spanksgiving.
Spanksgiving. Okay.
That's right. It's where everybody gets to get spanked this on Thursday.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you don't have somebody to spank you, call me.
Ray is the expert in spanking. That's right. So before we go on, we would like to say that this episode is dedicated to the memory of our friend Joseph Oates. And we'll talk about it more in the show today. But so, Ray, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
You should do.
I went to go see
something gay last Friday night. Was it Friday night? You lined up, didn't you?
Seeing Twilight Breaking Dawn is not gay.
How come it's not gay? I thought it was gay.
It's not gay. Now, if they'd finally kill Bella off and let Jacob and Edward get together, then it'd have been gay. But no, I went and saw Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, which is very good. Fight scene was awesome. So
okay.
So don't ask a spoiler, because if you haven't read the books, it's your own damn fault that you don't know any better. So, but it was awesome. And then Saturday, I went with you and we saw Skyfall.
Yeah, Skyfall was pretty good. I liked
it. It's pretty good. I like the whole Asian. I like the Asian gambling floating casino thing. That was very cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I liked it, but not. To me, it's the same as the others. To me, I mean, it's like the other James Bond films. You liked it a lot among all the
Johns. I mean, that's a pretty good movie. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I was upset that they blew that. Well, here's a spoiler, but they blew a house up in it, and I loved that house. I was like, I wish I had a big old manor house like that to live in.
I know, right? Yeah, so, just a house
with all
there.
That is modernized with all the facilities and not freaking cold all the time.
Yeah. It's pretty sad. But what's good about it, not much of a spoiler, but you see just a little bit of James Bond history in this one.
Yeah.
And you'll see some changes. Yeah. I think it's about time to have changes.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. I think they're going in and setting the stage of like how he became Bond, what motivated him, what got him there, and changing some things up and kind of resetting it back to some of the older Bond themes.
Bond themes, so. Yeah.
And that'll be good to see what the next movie happens.
It does make sense, because you always change the Bond, the James Bond, but you don't change the other characters.
Yeah.
So you gotta, I should say, there's some changes in characters. Okay, so that's James Bond. Skyfall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you do this weekend? I heard you were a bunch of fat men in dresses.
That's right. We were in the Texas Renaissance Festival. I know last week we did feature some pictures from Will. And he had pictures from Texas Renaissance Festival, and he shared them. And this time I went there with a couple of friends, Mark, Rob, and Chris. We went there, so it was a lot of fun. We ate a lot.
Chris
is doing well.
Was he in a kilt?
No, he wasn't. He was wearing shorts.
Shorts?
Yeah, it was cold, but he was able to. It's not very cold.
Yeah.
I wore jeans.
Yeah.
But it was a fun weekend. It's I saw, what did I see? I had fish and chips. I had funnel cake and stuff like that. So
speaking of diabetes.
Oh, no, right, diabetes.
We'll talk about that later in the show.
We'll talk about that later in the show, that's right.
So
and
then you watch that other show that we watch every Sunday.
Yes. after coming from Texas Renaissance Festival, went to Ray's here so we could watch The Walking Dead. So what do you think? Well, we already know who's on the phone, so right?
That's right. You already know who's on the phone. Mm-hmm. If you read the comics, you know who's on the phone. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything else because I don't want to get any hate mail on fucking Facebook.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dave calling me up. I can't believe I ain't watching yet. It's been 3 weeks. So that's all I'm saying about Walking Dead.
Yeah, Walking Dead was pretty okay this weekend.
But it's a very interesting ending that I think is different than what was in the comic books.
But it's different, but it's intertwining now.
Yeah,
so
this link is
tight. It's getting the link together.
Yeah, it's starting to bring things together. So, but it's a very good twist on it. So.
Just gross. I mean, you know, all those blood from all those zombies splashing over you. Won't you get infected at that point?
They're already infected.
They're already infected. But look what happened to. Then why did they? Then why did the Rick cut Herschel's leg? Because it's going to get infected.
Well, I think the bite is kind of. I think the bite has something in the saliva that's more this
more potent or something,
like a more potent version of the virus or bacteria or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Because if that was the case, everybody would already been turned into zombies because everybody's usually covered in blood anyhow. So
yeah, I mean, what if it splashes on your eye, or you swallow some of it, or you digest it? I don't know.
Or if you're blowing off a zombie and it comes in your mouth, is it dangerous or not?
I think it would come off. I mean, you won't even finish.
So, or if you got a zombie blowing you that you pulled all their teeth out and they're gumming you.
Oh.
And you come in their throat. Is it safe?
Ray@bearpodcast.com. You can email them. You can send your email.
So what are your Thanksgiving plans?
Okay. We're going to Gary's, actually. They invited us. So I think I'm going to bring traditional egg rolls. Traditional Thanksgiving egg rolls.
So they're made out of turkey.
It's made out of turkey.
Okay. Stuffed with turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce.
Yes, that's right. I don't know about cranberry sauce.
You should try. You should roll them up and put the cranberry sauce, roll them up and fry.
Or use cranberry sauce with a little bit of chili, so make a sauce out of it. That's the dip. That's right. Making you instead of those chili sauce, you can do that.
Yeah.
We can do that. Anyway, so how about you? What are you planning?
I'll be sitting here by myself.
No, you're not.
Just me and Brody staring at the walls.
I thought you had plans with Luby's or something. Or
well, I might go to Luby's with
Patrick
Jerry and Patrick. You never can tell with those two. So.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry's kind of moody, so you never can tell about him.
Yep.
So, and then after that, I guess I'll just sit here all by myself, looking at the ceiling, watching reruns of Thanksgiving episode.
How about football? You don't gotta watch football.
Yeah. Maybe there might be a good rugby game or something.
Rugby game.
So anyway, I'll let you switch over to our topics and we can talk some more about our friend Joseph.
Yes. Actually, yes, it is sad. This is sad news that we got last Saturday. It's about Joseph Oates. He's a friend of ours. I met him at the Southern Decadence last year, and we kind of hanged out. We got to become good friends with him and Josh, his partner, and we hanged out also at TBRU.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you meet him first at Dave's house?
It's another party. Yeah, I remember meeting them in Southern Decadence, and then I met them at Dave's house also.
Okay, because that's the first time I met him was at Dave's house.
Yeah, so we were there. It's
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I got to know them. Of all the bears that I've known, he is the one who's so accepting of me. It's like, I've seen a lot of bears. I've met a lot of bears. And it's just all in passing. And they only say hi if you say hi and stuff like that. But Joseph is just different. He's someone who I just met just a few times. And we were kind of hit it off, him and his partner. And, you know, we exchange Facebook messages, and he really likes the egg rolls that I make. And, when he was here in Houston to have his checkup, he asked for if he could have some egg rolls. And I really planned to bring it to him, but we didn't make it. He didn't make it because he had to leave Houston after getting some bad news about his. He went to Houston to the medical center to have his checkup, and it just so happened that it's not a very good. He didn't get good news, so he had to leave early that week. So I was supposed to meet him Wednesday night, but he had to leave and drive back to Arkansas. In the morning, so I didn't get to see him anymore. And
he was a Razorback fan.
Yes. Was he really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's a great guy. Keep tabs on him. And Josh has been keeping us updated about his health and everything. And yeah.
And he was in P-Town with us, too. But...
He was also in P-Town with us. And some of the pictures here you'll see that he was in P-Town with us. And... he had a great time just to relax. He needed to give himself a break.
Yeah.
Give himself a break.
Everybody needs a vacation.
Yeah. And it was just, I guess it was just also all of a sudden, he's a fighter. He's a big fighter. Really, it's just that, you know, he had to succumb to whatever cancer had to do with him, you know. So that was last Friday. It's really sad. So here's a message from his partner, actually, and... I'm just gonna quote what Josh said. He says, "Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You will forever be in my heart. Tonight at 5 p.m., my partner Joseph passed away, and he did not lose his battle with cancer, but he did die from it. Joey fought with every single trace of energy that he had in doing so, showed us all how to really fight. Thank you all who have offered support, prayers, and more. Throughout this journey, rest assured that Joey is in a better place and peaceful now. Please keep the family and friends, also known as the Small Army, in your thoughts and prayers as we now look forward. Once we have more details about the services, we will post them here in the Facebook. Actually. Joe asked that no one sends flowers, but to instead make a donation to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital in his memory. Goodbye, Joey, and I will love you forever." So that's a message from Josh to Joey. And Joey, so wherever you are, you rest in peace, and you'll always be remembered. Gary, how are you?
Maynard. How you doing?
Great. Ray is here with us.
How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Just here at the house.
You're in the house? Okay.
Just here at the house with Adrian, Andrew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we called to have you in the show just to talk about your adventure last Saturday.
Good one. Mm-hmm. Had a very good adventure.
Okay.
So, you know, I had been planning to do this diabetes walk for a while, and my grandmother had diabetes. I have a lot of folks in my family that had it, and so it's always been a cause kind of near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So my company is a gold sponsor this year of the walk, so that gave me the added push to attend and to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It went really, really well.
Okay. So how did you prepare for a big walk like this? Did you, do some jogging during the week or something? Or
yeah, that's me, jogging. You know me so well, Nard. Yes. Yes. No, Maynard, there was not a lot of preparation on the physical front. You know, just had to have a lot of carbs in the morning, some pancakes, and, you know, maple syrup, and some scrambled eggs and cheese. I was good to go.
And now you know what causes diabetes, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Okay.
I had tried to get sponsors to sponsor my walk because, you know, obviously if you're walking and don't have sponsors, there's really no point. You're just kind of walking.
Yeah.
So I had, struggled to kind of get some sponsors. I had this one really nice Filipino guy that sponsored me, who remained nameless. But he was my only sponsor. And then I had to, of course, lay the Facebook guilt trip on all my friends. And my friends stepped up. Good bunch of guys out there. So
yes,
I ended up raising $420.
That's pretty good. Yeah. What was your target, though?
My target was 200, and I more than doubled it, thanks to some very generous bears.
Yay!
Well, that's good.
Yay!
Maybe next year you need to talk to your very good Filipino friend and get him to have you on the show before the walk so we can pimp you out.
Yes, that's right.
So you can get more donations.
You can do some dances.
I'll do anything for the cause, guys. Anything for the cause.
Yes, take one for the team. Yes.
That's right. And then, of course, the day of the walk, it was beautiful. I mean, we were downtown Houston at Minute Maid Park, and it was like 58 degrees at the start of the walk, which is perfect bear weather. So it was definitely in our favor.
Aww.
And so I was the only guy in shorts, but that's all right.
You were the only guy in shorts. Everybody else are in jogging pants, with sweatpants. Right.
But you should have had your jogging suit on.
You could have been pretty comfortable.
You could have been all
everyone else was shivering, but
you could have been all Tony Soprano.
Right.
So how is it? It's is how many miles was it? Was it like a 1.5 or something, or
3K? No, it's 5 miles.
It's five miles. Okay, it's 5 miles.
Yeah. So you're basically going up and down the streets of Houston, downtown Houston,
okay,
where all the skyscrapers are at.
How many minutes? How many? It took you a few hours. 2 hours.
No, it was under 2 hours. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was, but there was about 50 of us from my company that went.
Oh, okay.
And so, I had a lot of work friends that were there. And so, you know, when you're chit-chatting away, the time goes pretty fast. You don't
even notice it. Definitely.
Yeah.
Once you're chatting. How many do you think went?
I guess probably about between 2,000 and 3,000 people walking.
Oh, that's a lot. Imagine each one has $200. At least, for example, that's a lot of money to raise. Mm-hmm. So this is for the American Diabetes Association, right?
Yeah, American Diabetes. Yep.
Awesome.
And the walk is called the Step Out Walk. It's an annual event.
Are you going to do it next year again?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good walk. I really liked that it was downtown too, and the perfect time of year for a walk. And you know, it's just a great cause. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely pumped up, ready to do it again next year.
Oh, great. Awesome.
That's cool. Well, next year, make sure your Filipino friend has you on the show before you do it.
Yeah.
is an awesome idea.
Like two or three, maybe 4 weeks before the actual walk.
Yeah.
So we can pimp you out and people can do PayPal donations or something to you.
I was going to say, exactly how would that work, the whole pimping out thing? How would that work?
I think it involves kind of more showing of more fur or maybe something like that.
You have to be here in person.
Yes.
Okay. That's right. Okay. All right. Well, we'll make some plans.
And your husband will have to be here, and for everything, and for everything you take off, he has to take off too. Tell him it's all for the calls. It's all for the calls.
I'll definitely need a year to work on that one.
Yes, you need to work on that one. Well, I should say you did a great job, and you're doing things for a good cause, and I myself know people in my family and friends who are also afflicted by diabetes, and mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, I'm afflicted by diabetes.
You're afflicted by diabetes too, right?
Diabetes.
Yeah, Ray is.
I guarantee you, Gary, if we know what we've known this week, we went and bought a box of Twinkies, and I bet you everybody showed up and ran for them.
Oh, that's right. We should talk about that, Twinkies. So what is your stand? What is your stand on the, you know, the Twinkies closing, or the company that makes Twinkies?
Hostess.
Company.
That's a tragedy. I mean, everyone's talking about the Twinkies, but you're also forgetting those cupcakes. The chocolate cupcakes with the cream in the middle and the little white swirl on top.
And don't at Christmas time, don't they do this? Don't they do the snowballs? Weren't they the ones that did the snowballs?
No, not the snowballs. No, those are the pink ones, I think, were the snowballs.
Okay, wow. I thought Hostess did those too.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I think they were just called Hostess cupcakes, but yeah, that's a damn shame.
Yeah. Now what are people going to fry?
Yeah.
Well, maybe, you know, since Hostess went under, maybe diabetes will go down in America.
Yes, that's right.
No more deep fried Twinkies.
No more deep fried Twinkies.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Well, Gary, thank you for being in the show. Thank you for joining us and doing that walk for a good cause.
Yes.
All right, guys. You take care and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy All Thanksgiving.
Right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Gary, for joining us. It's that was fun. We should do that more often. We should call people up and
just random. I'll just call the White House one day and see if Obama's on
there. Let's do that. It's cool. And then we'll get and then we'll get calls. We'll be investigated here. Oh my God!
All these Christians prayed to put the right man in the White House, and they're saying that you're not it. Do they believe God was wrong by putting you there?
Yep.
So, anyway, moving on. So, now on to the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Would you like me to take the gay?
Go for the gay.
All right. This week, gay. This one's kind of fun. Well, I thought this was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
conservative newspaper says men who molest young teens are not pedophiles. An editorial defending the Boy Scouts of America in a conservative U.S. newspaper has claimed that men who molest young teen boys are not pedophiles, but gay, and that it's the critics of the organizations that are conflagulating the issues.
Okay.
Keep going. Let's conservative U.S. News Press claimed that men who molest younger teenage boys are gay and not pedophiles, and that the men who molest girls are the same or just heterosexual.
Okay.
But in most states, you can have sex with 14-year-old girls, but you can't with 14-year-old boys, and it's consensual. The claims were made in an editorial published by Connecticut's Republican American newspaper titled Mixed Signals and Scout Scandal, defending the Boy Scouts of America's membership ban on gays and lesbians. They said, pedophiles are attracted to prepubescent children, the editorial reads. Most Boy Scouts, being at least 11 years old, are postpubescent. An adult man who makes advances on a 15-year-old boy is not by definition a pedophile. He's a homosexual, no different from a heterosexual who is attracted to younger women.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the people who vehemently oppose the organization's hard-won exclusion of homosexual scouts and leaders are now attacking it for failing to protect every child who joins the troop. Given that most Boy Scouts are post-pubescent and therefore of no interest to pedophiles but of great interest to homosexuals, how could such a policy serve any purpose but to protect the scouts from sexual predators? Indeed, it is the critics of scouting, not the Boy Scouts organization, who are conflating homosexual and pedophilia. The age of consent in Connecticut is 16 or 18, where one of the parties is in a position of responsibility for the other. The Boy Scouts of America last month revealed confidential international perversion files that demonstrate that the organization failed to report scoutmasters and volunteers suspected of molesting scouts to police for years. In some cases, scoutmasters were allowed to remain within the organization for decades, despite repeated abuse allegations.
Like the church.
It sounds like the church, yeah. The Boy Scouts also kept files of members and volunteers they suspected of being gay. The documents were released as a result of a lawsuit that accused the Boy Scouts of America of covering up generations of sexual abuse. The Republican American is known for its conservative editorial stance and has previously claimed that Marxist socialists control the U.S. Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. So I guess they're saying, where does pedophilia stop? At what age does pedophilia stop?
Didn't you say that if it's 14 for a girl?
What I'm saying. That's something totally different. A pedophile is usually somebody that enjoys having sex with somebody under age of consent.
Okay.
So, but most states, guys, age of consent are, I think the lowest I know of is probably 16. Where girls is 14. And I know there, I think one state is actually 13.
What state is that? Virginia?
No, it's not Virginia.
West Virginia?
I think it's in the South Shore, but I think it's 13. Unless they changed it. But I know at one time there's a state that's 13. There's a couple states that was 14. And then most of them went to 16. But most got consent for guys was 18, which I thought that was very weird. So. That's very sexist, by the way. Very sexist.
Yes, it is.
So anyway, there's that. So with all the scouting stuff, sounds much like the Catholic Church issue with priests and pedophiles.
So it's now, so they're like the Catholic Church now, I guess.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a big mess, and I really feel sorry for the kids that had to be abused and get put through that, and then it all get covered up, and it could have been stopped. So
was it Steven Spielberg who used to support the Boy Scouts of America, but then he's not supporting it because of this.
I don't know. We're not personal friends, so I can tell you what he does. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. We're very informed here. Okay, let's go from the geek. So the world's oldest still working computer clatters back into action after lying forgotten for 20 years. So the world's oldest original working digital computer has been restored to full working order after lying forgotten and gathering dust in storage for 20 years. The 61-year-old Harwell Decatron, it's like a Decepticon, isn't it?
Oh.
Which was in its time...
It wasn't an Apple product?
That's not. Renowned for its reliability, was rebooted after a mammoth 3-year restoration project. Weighing an incredible 2.5 tons, it is as heavy as 20,000 iPhone 5s and could fill an entire room. It has taken pride of place at the National Museum of Computing at Bletchley Park, Buckinghamshire. I don't know where that is, but...
That's England.
That's England? Kind
yes.
of sounded like it.
Yes.
But yeah, look, imagine that. This phone. This is an iPhone 5.
Yes.
20,000 of these can fill a room, and it would, that's how heavy, because these are light, right, by itself.
But, and imagine, that iPhone could do more than that.
This can do more than that room, that big computer.
But you got to think about this. When the Apollo missions went up,
yeah,
our cars today have more computing power than the space capsules that went up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, your car thinks more about and does more than the Apollo 13, one of the Apollo 13 missions.
Because before it was, I think they didn't have anything digital back then.
Not Apollo. No.
It's all dials and, yeah.
It's basically a Volkswagen more than the capsule did, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. So, I don't know, what's the oldest computer you've ever held on? Did you have an XP?
I had a TS-80 at one time.
TRS-80?
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty much I used to work with.
And it didn't ever do a damn thing.
Did you program something like...
I tried to do stuff, it never would work. I never could get anything to work. It's supposed to have a tape thing that you plugged into it.
So the tape. I had
the cassette tape, and you did all that stuff. It never did a damn thing for me. So.
I did that before. I would store a program into it in tape and wait for it, and then most of the time, people won't work.
Yeah. It's like that Woody Atari box that I had. I never played with it. That beep, beep. Yeah, did nothing for me. So.
You know, I just realized this Harwell Decatron, which is 61 years old. So, this can't do Growler.
No.
It can't do Growler.
It might be able to add, subtract big numbers, and that's about it.
That's about it, right.
And you probably have to type in a punch card. Get it to do anything. So.
How do you check in? How do you check in with this big machine?
Okay, on to the bazaar.
Okay, let's go to
the bazaar. I put this on there because I thought it was kind of funny. So, And I'm a big fan of Ian McKellen.
This should be part of gay also. It's also gay.
It's a gay bizarre.
It's a gay bizarre. Okay.
Gay Gandalf star Ian McKellen cried filming Hobbit dwarf scenes. Veteran British actor said he broke down in tears after having to perform scenes in front of a green screen with only photos of castmates. Now, Sir McKellen, I must say, you're an actor. Act.
Maybe he was acting.
I don't think so. Sir Ian McKellen has admitted he broke down in tears during the filming for The Hobbit, in which he reprises the role as Wizard Gandalf. The gay British thespian says he cried shooting a scene for the Lord of the Rings prequel because he was forced to act alone in front of a green screen. In order to shoot the dwarves and a large Gandalf, he couldn't be in the same set, McKellen told Contact Music. All I had for company was 13 photographs of the dwarves on top of stands with little lights, whoever's talking flashes up. Pretending you're with 13 other people when you're on your own, it stretches your technical ability to absolute limits.
Oh my God.
So, come on, man. You've been acting how long?
This is not why I became an actor.
English That's actor, why. Come on now. Bet you Picard was doing it. Patrick Stewart, he got right through it. So, I cried. Then I said out loud, this is not why I became an actor. Unfortunately, the microphone was on and the whole studio heard.
Oh my God, I bet they were laughing too.
The veteran actor of stage and screen has previously said it was a pleasure to work with the dwarf actors, claiming they're really grounded things. The first film of the Hobbit trilogy is scheduled to be released worldwide in December 2012. I think it's like the weekend before the zombie apocalypse.
That's right. So, okay, we'll get to the zombie apocalypse soon. Okay. So he was talking to pictures.
And because he didn't have somebody real act off of it, upset him.
The 3D said that he cried literally.
So I'm thinking,
I could just imagine.
I'm thinking you're an actor. You should be able to stand on that stage and do anything that you get told to do and not be able to do it. And if they say that you're sitting in a room with 3,000 people and there's nobody there, you should still act like you're in a room with 3,000 people. It's called acting.
Even though if you're gay or straight, you should still act.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I still love you.
Yes, he's fabulous.
I love your boyfriends too. They're all pretty hot.
Okay, so how about that? There are people who are having parties this apocalypse, December 21st. Mayan calendar thing.
Yeah. For zombie apocalypse. My prediction that the zombie apocalypse is, well, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You got Israel. You got the Gaza Strip. You got Iran. Iran's getting ready to unleash the knowledge that they actually have nuclear weapons. All this turmoil, there's going to be a big battle in the Holy Land, and some people are going to get blown up, and it's going to change the way. And I think that's what's going to happen. It's actually not going to end the world, but it's going to change how the world looks at everything, and hopefully to make it a better place. Unfortunately, I think millions of people are going to have to die to get that to happen.
Yep.
It's gone to such big scale that everybody's going to be like, oh, shit. Maybe we really need to make it like Star Trek.
Yep.
So we'll see. Scary. We'll see what's happening. That's my prediction, that the stuff that's going to happen in December is going to happen in the Middle East, and it's going to be something big, and it's going to change the way the world operates.
Yep. Right. That's a good insight, Ray. So. It could make or break, actually. It could... The way you're saying it could, you know, things could be improved or
yeah.
It could be bad.
People either
also
have to rise up and say, no, this is enough. Mm-hmm. We've had it. Or they're going to get back in. It's going to be all greed and warfare. And
yep.
We're going down a path that, like one of those post-apocalyptic movies I like to watch. So anyway.
Right. Anyway, okay. So let's go on with our audience comments.
Sorry.
Here you go. Here's a voicemail from Buzz.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, boys. Just listened to your podcast, and I've been friends with Ian for a while. Good to hear him. This is Buzz in Albuquerque, by the way. Haven't talked to you guys in a little bit. I was noticing you were talking about Mark Hamill and his acting lately. He's done a whole lot of voice stuff. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, a lot of animation. I noticed his name in the credits for Metalocalypse. He's doing a number of voices on that show, which is one of my favorites. Anyway, didn't know if you guys were aware of that. So, talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Buzz. Thanks for listening. I'll check out, was that
Metapocalypse.
I'll have to go search that one to see, because I can't even pronounce it, and see if I can find out. Maybe it's online. Okay. Because I haven't heard of it before.
What do you remember that Mark Hamill played in, besides Star Wars? I mean, right off the bat.
Well, he did this thing called Corvette Summer.
What was that? It's not a sci-fi movie.
No, it's not a sci-fi movie at all. But if you go back, but if you were a child back then of the 70s and you saw Corvette Summer, you're like, oh my God, that's so cool. But Mark Hamill was like this young teen stud getting a Corvette.
Really?
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. But
maybe we should watch it again. So. Okay, the only time besides Star Wars that I've seen Mark Hamill was, I think he was in one movie of The Guyver. He was a police or something, or a cop, and then he somehow changed to a monster or something like that. It's really horrible. And the second one was in The Flash, you know, the TV series.
Uh-huh.
He was the prankster. I remember he was the prankster. Yeah. So he was the prankster, and he was an evil villain doing pranks, I guess that's what he was saying. And the way he would defeat the Flash back then, he would throw marbles in the ground, and then, of course, the Flash would run over it. Comedy ensues when he runs over the marbles, and then he gets away. And that was the prankster, that's what I remember. So, yeah, it's interesting. So, yeah, thank you, Buzz, for that heads up. He does voice, I guess lately he's not that good to be on in front of a camera now, I guess. So he's just doing voiceovers now.
Stuff. Yeah, so I'm sure he's that other stuff.
You know, that's a good job, you know, voiceovers.
Yeah. You know, I wish I had the voice for it.
Yeah. Well, Buzz is a good voice. Listen to him, it's like a radio voice. But, you know, doing voiceovers would be nice. You know, you go to work, just be in your pajamas and go to the studio and just record and then just go home and go back to sleep.
I think it's a little bit more than that, but yeah, I get
you can wear anything, just basically. Yeah. It's just like radio announcers. What we used to be doing, we're not naked in the front of the camera. I mean, when we didn't.
Well, we have been before.
But when we used to not have video, we would just.
Back in the olden days.
Back in the olden days. Not that old. It's just a couple of years ago. Yeah, we were just...
That we had the first version of iPhone out.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, so... That's right. We just... voiceovers. Maybe that'd be nice. That's a nice job. Do some voiceovers.
We got a message here from Gary in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Gary.
Drinks for Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. Quick update on Lucasfilm purchased by Disney. Lucasfilms includes sub-companies. I don't like sub-companies. See here. Founded by George Lucas in 1971, Lucasfilm is a privately held, fully integrated entertainment company. In addition to its motion picture and television production operations, the company's global activities include Industrial Light and Magic and Skywalker Sound, serving the digital needs of the entertainment industry for visual effects and audio post-production. LucasArts, a leading developer and publisher of interactive entertainment software worldwide, which manages the global merchandising activities for Lucasfilm's entertainment properties, Lucasfilm Animation, and Lucas Online creates internet-based content for Lucasfilm's entertainment properties and businesses. Additionally, Lucasfilm Singapore produces digitally animated content for film and television. Well, you know, they can work with Asians like Hebrew slaves that
Okay.
get away with it. So.
Nice.
As well as visual effects for feature films and multi-platform games. So,
wow, even games?
So Disney got it all.
They have it all.
I guess that's why they paid $1 billion. So they can do anything they want now.
Well,
I guarantee you all the Disney films in the next, if we survive the apocalypse, in the next year, everything will be going to Industrial Light and Magic. You'll probably see it pop up everywhere. So.
But you see, 2015, right, is the episode 7. I think that's the plan.
That is the plan. That's what they're saying. So.
I think they're going to do a good job.
I hope so, because if they screw it up, they know they're doomed. So,
yeah.
And Disney's all tied in with the merchandise and all that stuff and the
cross
thing. So they usually don't screw it up because they like to make that money off of other stuff. So
I'm excited about that. I mean, because I'm getting tired of George Lucas just rehashing all of these films and making it 3D, making it IMAX, making it 3D, remastering it another time, digitizing it, make it 3D again. Yeah. I don't know. He just
wanted to make it the way it should have been made back in the day that he couldn't. So
yeah.
But yes, it will be nice to hopefully see some Star Wars movies.
Make new ones.
Maybe a couple TV shows. That'd be a nice, good spinoff.
Or even animated ones.
Or more animated ones.
And bring back Mark Hamill.
Yeah. I think if they do anything with the Star Wars trilogy, they're going to have to recast all the actors at this point.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see who gets cast as who and where it goes and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Maybe they'll pull Life Day or whatever that one-time holiday special for Star Wars out was.
You're going to redo something again?
Maybe they'll pull that out and we'll get to see that again, because that got shown once and then it was mothballed and it's never been back out again.
Oh, wow.
But it had the cast, and I want to say the Ewoks were on it too. And they did like this, it's a whole life, which is like a Christmas special type thing.
Yeah, it was.
And
I remember that. And then I was so young then.
So, and then that was it. That was a one-time deal. Mm-hmm.
Wow, the Christmas special.
Yeah, and they've done a couple other Christmas specials with just the Ewoks, but this had the actual cast in it. Like Princess Leia and Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill, they were all in it. So.
Okay.
And it was just interesting, because I remember seeing it as a kid, and then you've never seen it since.
Not even DVDs? Or
no, it was locked up.
I think
Lucas was so disgusted with it that he locked it up and said it'll never be seen again. So it'll be interesting now that Disney's got it, if they'll come out and do something with it, so.
They'll make a remake.
Yeah. So,
well, that's it for now. That's our show.
That's all the show. Has.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Before we go, what are you thankful for?
Let's see. I'm thankful I have great friends like Maynard.
That's me.
So, actually, I'm thankful for all my friends because all of them are really good. I'm thankful that all my family's healthy. I don't know, I'm thankful for a lot of things. So I'd be more thankful if I had more money in my bank, but that's just materialistic things and doesn't really add up to anything but money and nothing. So
yeah.
What about you? What do you think?
Well, of course I'm thankful for Mike that he still, after getting married and everything, he's still sticking up with me.
Yeah.
With my craziness. And of course my best friend Ray. And a lot of our friends out there who's been, hanging out with us and celebrating whenever there's even through sad times too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get to talk to people and thank all of you guys, watching and listening, because I know this is we don't get paid to do this. We're just really having fun. And there are times that, we get tired too.
But if you'd like to send us a check, our P.O. Box P.O. Box is...
251, P.O. Box 2511, Humboldt, Texas, 77347.
That's fine. Okay. Send us a check.
Anyway, so seriously, it's just really a, it's a, it's rewarding. It's rewarding.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we get into a dry spell. And then suddenly a teenager or a friend out there or probably somebody in Australia would email us, would contact us, leave a voice message or even post a Facebook message. They would say that they enjoyed the show. And there were touching times also that we had teenagers watching our show and listening to our show. And they said it encouraged them to come out to their parents and stuff like that, and it just...
In fact, one of the teenagers that listened to the show that did a whole thing in his school just came out to his parents this week for his birthday.
Oh, really? That's his birthday gift?
And his prayer, and his parents, he said his parents were okay with it, said it wasn't easy, but they were like, okay.
Wow, there you go, see?
So, good.
That's good to hear, yeah. So, we're all thankful for all of you guys for supporting us.
Yeah. And if any of y'all are going to be in the Houston area on December the 15th, which is a Saturday, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket, we're having a fundraiser where you can have your picture taken with a sexy Santa. And if any of y'all remember Larry, who was on the show, talking about being a dad, and he's also the founder of Slamming, he's agreed to be our sexy Santa.
Mm-hmm.
So next week we'll have some pictures of him to put on show. I don't want to put him on this week because he's in a Santa suit, and you do one holiday at a time. I'm not a retail market. We do one holiday at a time.
One holiday.
But if you're in town, come do that. The charity's yet to be determined. I think that's going to be determined in the December meeting of the Houston Bears. But it still goes to charity, so it'd be nice to come out and have your picture naked with a sexy bear man, tattoos, and I want to try to have two L's there. I'm going to try to have naughty and nice, so we'll see how that goes. But it's $10 to have your picture made, and like I said, it all goes to charity, and we're going to try to have hot chocolate and all that other good stuff. So.
Awesome.
Alrighty.
Okay. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can call us like Buzz and leave us a voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-2327. Oh, excuse me. That's 206-222-BEAR. Sorry. I was listening to his voice, and it threw me off. So.
Okay.
So anyway, moving on. Moving on. All right. Dave, I know. You can laugh at it now.
Subscribe by iTunes and YouTube, also in Vimeo. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and we'll catch you guys next week. Many wolves and many hugs.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.